All right, here's what most homeowners don't realize. Just because you own a piece of property doesn't mean you can build whatever you want on it. Cities and counties have entire departments dedicated to controlling what you can build, how big it can be, where it can sit on your lot, and even what it looks like. And if you don't understand these rules before you start designing, you could waste months of work and thousands of dollars on plans that will never get approved. I'm Bill Reed, and today we're diving into city and county regulations, the invisible forces that will shape your entire project. Let's make sure you know the rules of the game before you start playing. Welcome to The Awakened Homeowner. Thinking about a new home or remodel, but feeling lost in a maze of decisions? You're in the right place. I'm William Reed, and for over three decades, I've coordinated the design and construction of hundreds of remodel and new home projects. I know the process can feel overwhelming, but trust me, you can do this. Here we break it all down step by step so you can feel confident, empowered, and even excited about your project. No stress, no guesswork, just the guidance you need to bring your dream home to life. Let's dive in. All right, welcome back. We're continuing our design limitation series, and today we're tackling something that sounds boring, but it's actually critical: city and county regulations. Now, I know what you're thinking, Bill, regulations, zoning codes, can we make this fun? And honestly, no, probably not. But what I can do is make it interesting, make it relevant, and most importantly, help you avoid some really expensive mistakes. In episode 31, we talked about property evaluation, making sure you understand what you're buying before you buy it. Well, today we're going to take it one step further, and we're talking about the rules that govern what you can actually do with your property once you own it. And here's the thing, these rules are everywhere. Every city has them, every county has them. Some homeowner associations add even more rules on top of the city's rules, and they're not suggestions, they're laws. So why does this matter? Let me paint you a picture. You buy your dream lot, you hire an architect, you spend months designing your perfect home, you're excited, you're ready to go, and then your architect submits to the city for approval and denied. Why? Because your design violates the floor area ratio or the setback requirements or 10 other regulations you didn't even know existed. Now you're back to square one, redesigning everything, and you've just wasted 6 months and thousands of dollars. This happens more frequently than it should, and sometimes it can add up to many, many months and many thousands of dollars. So that's kind of what we're preventing today. We're going to explore the regulatory landscape before you design anything. Specifically, we're covering three big areas. First, how city and county regulations work and where do you find them? And second, what planning departments do and why they matter so much? And third, how to actually navigate the municipal code and zoning districts. So by the end of this episode, you'll know where to look, what to ask, and how to set yourself up for a smooth approval process. Sound good? Well, let's dive in. The first thing we're going to be talking about is city-county regulatory framework. All right, let's start with the basics. When it comes to building or remodeling a home, you're not just dealing with your architect and your contractor. You're dealing with the government entities that have the power to approve or deny your entire project. Now, I'm going to use the term city throughout this episode, but everything I say applies equally to counties if you live in an unincorporated area. And here's the first thing you need to understand. These regulations exist for a reason. They're trying to protect neighborhood character, trying to ensure public safety, and prevent someone from building that giant pink mansion that ruins everybody's property values. The problem is, as a homeowner, you're probably not familiar with how this system works. So let's go ahead and break it down. What are city and county regulations? So first, let's define what we're talking about. City and county regulations are documented rules that control what you can build. They're usually found in the municipal code. Think of it as the rule book for everything in that jurisdiction. So these regulations are public, accessible online through your city planning department. If you're in an HOA, you might have additional rules on top of the city rules. These aren't suggestions, they're legal requirements. And every city is different. You cannot assume rules from one city apply to another. So I've got a short story for you that happened to me on a project. In the city of San Jose, California, we had a demolition of an existing home project and the construction of a new home in a small, compacted urban area near the downtown San Jose called the Willow Glen area of San Jose. We did our due diligence. My design team went in and met with the planning department, spoke with the building department to understand what the design criteria was. So we proceeded to actually design the project and went in and talked to the city about our design, showed them our design, and got kind of a preliminary unofficial approval. We went back, completed the design, submitted to the city, and sure enough, we had two things blindside us. One of them was the parking regulations, and one of them was what they call an overlay set of rules, I'll call it, over the typical municipal code planning department rules. The first thing was the parking. We originally wanted to have just a one-car garage covered parking, like many of the homes had in the area. Well, we were given the approval to do that informally by talking to a planner. And we also wanted to confirm the front yard setback, which was normally 20 feet in that jurisdiction, which is what was documented in the municipal code. Well, after we went completed the design and submitted the project to the planning department and the building department to issue a building permit, we got blindsided because they then required two covered parking spaces. And the front yard setback wasn't 20 feet. It was actually 25 feet to the roof overhang, which meant in effect, it made it about 27 feet instead of 20 feet, which is normally from the front property line to the front of the building, not the overhang. So this was quite a surprising discovery. Long story short, we had to redesign the project after we were completely done. And it cost time and it cost money. And in our case, we absorbed much of the cost of the design time because we felt a certain level of responsibility, even though we did our due diligence as best as possible with the city. That is a scenario where we actually did that, where we actually went in ahead of time and tried to learn. And we did learn some other things, but here's the point. Many people don't go in and do some of this preliminary discovery work with the planning department before they begin the design and then just dive into the design and end up getting really blindsided. In fact, design professionals can actually do this too. So you have to really, really press for the information when you start doing this. So that's what the city regulations are, but who enforces them? That's where planning departments come in. So let's talk about planning departments. So in the city government offices, or maybe the county government offices, you'll have two departments that you'll be dealing with to get a permit. One is the planning department and one is the building department. So the planning departments, what they do, why they matter, and how to work with them instead of against them. So here's the fundamental thing, and this is covered in my book in section 2.303. Planning departments care about what your home looks like from the outside. They regulate the look, the mass, and the scale using documented ordinances in the municipal code. They don't care about your interior floor plan if you're doing an interior only remodel. You might not deal with the planning department at all. But if you're building a new house or adding on, you're going to be very familiar with the planning department. So what does the planning department do? So city planners, the people that live behind the counter in the planning department, live by the book of zoning. And they're checking how big is your house relative to your lot, which is considered floor area ratio. And I'm going to have a whole nother episode dedicated directly to floor area ratio, and I'll explain that. But just for right now, just be thinking about the size of your home, living area, square footage relative to the square footage of your lot. They talk about how close your building is to the property lines called setbacks. There's documented rules about how close you can get to the property lines, front, back, sides. There's height restrictions. And does the design fit into your neighborhood? So there's common reasons for denied applications when you go to submit to the planning department. And like I mentioned earlier, a lot of it is by ignoring the due diligence time that should be taken before you begin design. Not understanding how ordinances apply to your specific site, assuming rules are the same from city to city, and misinterpreting the rules, intentionally exceeding ordinances, hoping for an exception. Don't try that last one because it rarely works. So here's the three prudent steps that you're going to want to take before beginning the design of your project. So the book outlines this as well, that smooth out the planning process. And these are kind of the gold standard of what you really want to do, or what you should make sure that your design professionals are doing to ensure that you don't get blindsided and waste a ton of time and money. So first step is to research the planning department website of your city or county. Most cities now and counties across the country and across many other countries have documented their rules and regulations within the municipal code. The first thing you're going to want to find out is what zoning you are, what classification you are. So you're going to want to find your zoning maps. I've decided that after this episode, I'm going to do a YouTube video presentation, and I'm going to randomly pick a state and city, and I'm going to show you the high-level look of how you can dive into this yourself to understand what is possible on your property as you're, you know, beginning to dream about your project in the discovery stage. You know, for example, you may think you want to build a second story on top of your existing home. There's a chance it's not possible. There's a chance you want to double the size of your home. There's a chance you may not be able to do that. So you're going to find the zoning ordinance, and I'll get into that in a little bit later. And we're going to have a whole nother episode dedicated specifically to zoning. But zoning is how cities classify your particular lot and your neighborhood. And it's usually based on property size. So you'll locate the relevant municipal code sections based on your zoning. So for example, you might be zoned R, meaning residential, dash 10,000, we'll call it, which means your lot is probably up to 10,000 square feet. And then you will note the application requirements, and then you'll write down questions that are confusing you when you start reading the municipal code. So that is the first step, is to research the planning department website, figure out what your zoning is for your property by looking at the zoning maps, and then relate that to the municipal code. So you'll look up your R10,000 lot, for example, and it will tell you what the setbacks are, what the height restrictions are, what the floor area ratios are allowed on your property to give you kind of the high level look. All right, quick reminder, everybody. Everything we're talking about today and so much more is in the Awaken Homeowner book. At less than 0.1% of your project cost, it's the best investment you'll make. Grab your copy on Amazon and keep it by your side throughout your entire project. Trust me, you'll refer to it again and again. And then step two is you will schedule a pre-design meeting with a planner at the planning department. Now, if you've hired an architect or a residential designer to actually handle the design of your project, these are the steps that most design professionals take before they actually begin design. If you are wanting to do some early stage preliminary work, this is what you're going to want to do. And it's good for you to do that because you'll understand what the criteria is, and then you'll be able to compare that to what's being discussed with your architect and designer and what's being proposed in your design to make sure that it conforms so that you don't end up going down some garden path that is not going to turn out. So this is the most important step that a design professional or a homeowner can take to make sure that they understand what the possibilities are and see if they align with your early discovery stages that we talked about in probably podcast episode two. And that's the idea, is to sit down with a planner and confirm, what zoning district am I in? Are there neighborhood specific restrictions beyond the standard code? I learned this the hard way, because there are a lot of neighborhoods that have, sometimes they call them overlays, meaning there's a whole nother set of rules on top of the baseline rules. So are there other neighborhood-specific restrictions beyond the standard code? Ask the question like, how do I calculate my floor area ratio for my property? Now, not all properties have floor area ratio restrictions. If you're in a really large parcel, it's probably not even relevant. But if you're in a typical city or suburban lot, you're probably going to have some kind of restriction. What are my setback requirements? Are there any height restrictions? Are two stories allowed on my property? These are the very basic questions that you can ask. And then a critical question, is there anything specific to my site outside the code's bounds that could affect my project? That's how you would word that one question. Is there anything else that's out there that I don't know about that I need to find out about? When you're at the planning department and sitting in front of a counter, Get the business cards from the planner and maybe their supervisor. So you usually have what's called associate planners. Those would be like junior level planners. And then you have the head of the planning department or their supervisor. Get those cards. Make sure you take note of who you spoke with, when, the information that you covered, record the date and time that you had that meeting, and note down which municipal code sections they reference. And then take detailed notes and follow up with an email to kind of document or at least take notes for yourself so that you can remember. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is because it's not uncommon to go into a planning department two different times, asking the same questions and get two different answers. It happens all the time. So I hate to say it, but if you're dealing with an associate planner and you ask a question like, how many square feet am I allowed on my property? If you don't see them referencing the code, don't believe them. Ask them, could you show me the code where that says that? So that you know that you've empowered yourself, you've enlightened and empowered yourself to protect your design. There's my three missions there. So just keep in mind, a visit to the planning department is only as good as the person you meet with. And then there's a hierarchy there that you need to pay attention to. So the next thing you're going to want to do, once you've designed, but before your formal submittal, show your plans informally. This lets them flag issues before you pay application fees. Now, keep one thing in mind as we're discussing this. If you're designing a new custom home or a substantial remodel, the first thing you do is gain planning approval. The second thing you do is gain building department approval. So building department's all about the structure and the safety. Planning department is all about conforming to the bigger picture rules and regulations, mass and scale, setbacks, some cities, colors and materials, believe it or not. But the building department won't usually look at your project, if it's that type of project, until the planning department has provided approval for the process. So that's why going back into the planning department probably months later and then presenting your preliminary design or your schematic level design, like we've spoke about in previous episodes, which is design step one. Your architect has conceptualized a design based on the criteria that you had as a homeowner and your dreams and visions and discovery ideas that you had. And hopefully they've balanced the solutions with what the city and county regulations are. And that's probably one of the basic questions you're going to want to ask as they present that design to you is, by the way, does this meet all the regulations of the city? And if you get a long pause or they start looking down at their feet, you know you might have a problem in the future. So ask that question. These three steps are kind of your insurance policy. Research the planning department website. Schedule a pre-design meeting with a planner. And then schedule a pre-submittal meeting. This really helps protect your experience. Let's talk about the municipal code specifically and the zoning districts where the actual rules live. The municipal codes can be hundreds of pages for a city, and sometimes it's in legal language, but you don't need to become a zoning expert. You just need to know how to access it and navigate the basics. So, understanding zoning districts. Every property is in a zoning district. These are the categories that group similar properties within their own rules. Like I mentioned earlier, residential neighborhoods usually begin with an R and some numbers after that, defining the particular zoning district and therefore the rules that will apply to that district. Go to your city's planning website, find that zoning map, locate your property, note your district. I know I'm being redundant here, but this is really important stuff. And then you'll go into the master rule book of the city planner. And the section we're talking about here is the zoning. So the book's goal is to inform you how to obtain the information so you can intelligently converse with your design professional. You're not becoming a zoning expert. You're becoming an informed homeowner. So the critical next step. So after researching online, you must visit the planning in person. Why? In reading municipal codes, there's always room for interpretation, especially for complex formulas. And remember, occasionally supplemental rules to specific neighborhoods are not identified within the standard municipal code. And that's why you can't just read online and think you're done. All right, here's your action plan. Action step one, identify your zoning district from the city zoning map. Action step two, research the municipal code, find your district's regulations, highlight confusing areas, write down questions. Action step three, schedule a pre-design meeting with planning, bring property info and questions, ask how ordinances apply to your property, and document everything. Action step four, involve your architect early, share your research, confirm they visit planning before designing, and have them explain how regulations affect your project. Action step five, schedule a pre-submittal meeting, show plans informally, fix issues before paying fees. Do these five things and you'll be way ahead of most homeowners. So here's what we covered. The cities regulate what you can build through municipal codes organized by zoning districts. Planning departments enforce these rules. Your action plan: research zoning, read the code, meet with planning before designing, document everything, and do pre-submittal review. So the big takeaway: never assume you know the rules. Never assume your design professional knows all the rules. And never skip those planning meetings. The time up front can save you really thousands. So everything we covered and way more detail is in section 2.302 through 2.304 of my book, The Awakened Homeowner. And as examples, illustrations of zoning maps and municipal codes and stories from 35 years. And you can visit theawakenedhomeowner.com for, you know, those resources in the show notes. So we've just scratched the surface of design limitations in the upcoming episodes. We're going to be diving into floor area ratio, how cities can limit the size of your home, setbacks, height restrictions, how much of the lot you can actually cover with buildings. And the next episode is going to be more details about zoning ordinances and floor area ratio. So I don't want you to miss it. Now, I've decided to do a little supplemental separate episode, and it'll be a YouTube video of me showing you how to navigate some of these things I've been going on and on about. And when it comes to diving into a particular city's municipal code and finding the right zonings on a subject piece of property. So I invite you to look for that next episode, and it won't be a podcast episode. It will be a YouTube video that I'll be posting that you can go to and look. And remember, a lot of these podcast episodes are also uploaded to YouTube if you're not listening there. And you can also watch there. Most of this is all about audio. But as we get deeper and deeper into the mission of the Awakened Homeowner, it's probably going to be a little bit more YouTube video presentation as well. So if this really helped you learn the basics of some proper planning techniques to protect you, I would really love to see any kind of review, even if it's negative, even if you want me to cover different things or handle a different way, but hopefully I'm helping. I mean, you can leave a review on the Apple Podcast or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this. And if you know of anybody that's planning a project, please share this with anybody planning a project, especially in the early stages. This is exactly what they need to hear before making costly mistakes. All right, that's it for today. Remember, enlighten, empower, protect. Understanding the rules before you design projects protects you from expensive surprises. I'm Bill Reed, your home building coach. Thanks for listening. Now go make it happen. Thanks for tuning into The Awakened Homeowner. Remember, you've got the power to take control of your project from day one. If you're ready to dive deeper, grab The Awakened Homeowner book on Amazon. It's your roadmap to success. Join our community at theawakenedhomeowner.com and download our free story, The Tale of Two Homeowners. And here's something exciting. I'm developing an app called BuildQuest that's going to revolutionize how you plan and manage your project. Visit buildquest.co to become a founding member and test drive the app when it launches. Follow us on social media and hit that subscribe button. All the links are in the show notes and bio. Got questions? I'd love to hear from you. This is Bill Reed. You got this.